Dear friends in Jesus Christ, today is part two of a short series I'm doing called Anxious for Nothing. When we think about anxiety, I don't want to be anxious. I don't think you want to be either. However, though, we can find ourselves that way at times in life. In part one of this series last week, we learned that God is sovereign. God is the only sovereign, the Bible says. That means he has almighty power. That means he is in control of all things. So important for us to keep that in mind. When is that most important to keep in mind? When we take a look at things and everything seems out of control, we are tempted to buy into that, but God is saying, no, I don't care how it looks. I am almighty. I am sovereign. I am in control. Trust in me. Do not be anxious, no matter what. Easier said than done, but so important for our daily Christian lives. Today in part two, we're going to discover some other reasons why we should not be anxious, and we're also going to get into the topic of prayer, which can be so important in taking away our anxiety. So I'm so glad that you are here to find out more about this important topic. Going on to the first part today, we come to the topic of contagious calm. Do each of you realize that back in 1962, we had four Russian submarines off the coast of Florida, and each one was armed with a nuclear warhead? Let me tell you a little bit more about it before we get to that point. So here they are traveling from Russia, four submarines, all the way to Florida. Now in Russia, the water is cold. By the time they got to Florida, the water is much warmer, and the men in these submarines, they are completely miserable. They are stressed out. They are anxious. Right about that time, U.S. ships discover these Russian submarines under the water, and they start dropping depth charges on them. Then the captain of these four submarines, he gets his staff together, and this is what he said. He said, "We're going to blast them now. We will die, but we will sink them all." Boy, he was right on the edge. He was so upset. He was ready to push the button to launch those nuclear missiles and to take care of business, even though he knew they would all die. What ended up happening? There was one man who was on his staff, and he said, "By the way, sir, before we take that step, do you mind if I have a private word with you?" Amazingly, the captain agreed to that. They stepped aside, and he said to him, "Before you do that, what if we surface and at least talk to the Americans and find out what they have in mind here before you actually do that?" Well, what happened is the captain took his advice, and World War III was averted. Can you imagine if they would have launched those nuclear missiles? What I'm trying to say here is the captain was very anxious, the one staff member was very calm, and his calm was contagious, and that passed on to the captain, and again, World War III was averted. I want to share with you four things from the Bible here that will help us understand about remaining calm. So first of all, going back to our key text here in this whole series, we're in Philippians chapter 4, and the Bible says, "Let your gentle spirit be made known to all men, to all people." So what can we say about a gentle spirit? First of all, what is that? What does that mean? If we have a gentle spirit, then we are yielding to others. We are kind to others. We are courteous of others. We are showing forbearance. In other words, that means to show patient restraint. Don't take action. Be patient. Let the thing unfold. When do we have such a spirit? Or maybe I should say, does everybody in the world have such a spirit? They don't. We have such a spirit, we have a gentle spirit when we are repentant, when we see our sins, We are sorry for our sins. We have faith in Jesus. We have our sins forgiven. Then we have that gentle spirit. Who should know that we have this gentle spirit? Everyone should. We should not hide it from anybody, so our family members, our coworkers, our friends, our neighbors, even strangers should recognize, hey, there's something different about that guy. He has a gentle spirit. There's like a contagious calm coming from him. That's how God wants us to be. That's how we can bring glory to God. That's how God can use us to be a blessing to others. I want to talk for a moment about being hot-tempered. Has anyone ever felt that way before? Okay, maybe a few of you have. Okay. Well, consider this passage in Proverbs chapter 15. It says, a hot-tempered man stirs up dissension, but a patient man calms a quarrel. Have you ever been in a situation and it was a little bit tense, and maybe you said something or you did something, and that escalated it even further? Well, I could tell you a couple stories, but I won't. But maybe you have a couple stories to tell as well. However, though, think about the Russian submarines. Somebody was calm, and that de-escalated the situation. That's how God wants us to be. Let's go again to our main text here for this series. We're back in Philippians 4. And when we think about the chapter divisions and the verse divisions in the Bible, keep in mind, those are not inspired. They were added in later on. Now, it's a great blessing to have those by all means. I can't imagine the Bible without them. But because they're not inspired, maybe we could say that not in every single place was like right here the best place to divide a verse or to divide a chapter. Maybe that's what we have right here. So if you think about the final phrase in verse 5 and the beginning phrase in verse 6. Now, because they're in different verses, it's easy to make a separation on them, but let's put them together and think about the meaning here. So the Bible says, the Lord is near, be anxious for nothing. Now, for so long in my life, I knew be anxious for nothing and a number of verses that followed, but because I did not memorize verse 5, I wasn't even thinking most of the time about what it said right there. But do you see how it goes together, though? Why is it that we should be anxious for nothing? Because the Lord is near. It's a very important thing. Let's look at a practical example here for a moment. Think about Moses dying, and now Joshua becomes the commander. So what does that mean when he steps into the position of Moses? Right away, Joshua has 600,000 men under his command as the army. And he has the responsibility of millions of civilians. That is quite a job to step into, isn't it? Can you imagine him being a little bit concerned, a little bit anxious? How am I going to do all of this? Well, what did the Lord say to Joshua? He said, do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So the Lord is near, the Lord is with you. Don't be anxious, it's all going to be fine. Going on to one other passage here in this section, do you remember when Jesus said these words? He said to his disciples, you give them something to eat. What was the situation there? So they had a little bit of money, the disciples, they had a little bit of food, and they had thousands of hungry people. Jesus said, you give them something to eat. Seemed like a pretty impossible situation, didn't it? Well, keep in mind now that prior to this time, the disciples had been with Jesus for a while, and they had seen him immediately heal countless people. They had seen him immediately cast out countless demons, and they had even seen him raise people from the dead. What was the problem here? Even though Jesus had given so much help, when they had the problem presented, give them something to eat, what did they fail to do? They failed to ask Jesus to help them in order to feed these people. I want to tell you a little story about a man named Bill Frey when he was 11 years old. So his job at 11 years old was to go around the homestead where he lived and to find old pine tree stumps and then to work them out of the ground, chop them up, and they would be burned in the family stove. Well, on one particular day, Bill came across a pretty good-sized stump, and he thought, this will be a great one. I can get a lot of wood out of it. So he had an axe, he had a crowbar, and he's working and working and working on trying to get this stump loose. And in the midst of that, his father came home from work, and his father takes up a seat, and he's watching his son do this work. And finally, the father says to the son, he said, son, you're not using all of your strength. Boy, when he said that, now the son is angry because he says back to him, he's like, dad, I'm putting everything into it that I've got. I've been working on it for hours. I'm doing everything I can to get this out. And then the father said again, son, you're simply not using all of your strength. You can imagine that the son is even more angry now. Finally, after a time, he calms down and he says, dad, I don't get it. What did you mean when you said I'm not using all of my strength? He said, son, you haven't asked me to help you. You haven't asked me to help you. How often for us is prayer a last resort instead of a first resort? I think it can happen so often. I know it happens with me plenty of times. I'm like, oh, I can do this okay. I don't say to myself I don't need God, but I just dive into it and try to do it. A lot of times it doesn't work out so well, and then I have to cry out to God in prayer. Wouldn't it be so much better to talk to God first in prayer? That would be the best thing. Going on to our second and final section here, prayer, not despair. Let's get some encouragement here. So in Philippians chapter 4, we talked about this a little bit last week and a little bit today, where we are called to rejoice always. We are called to let everyone see our gentle spirit. We are called to not be anxious because the Lord is near. So all of that sounds great, but how does that like just happen automatically? Well, it doesn't. God has told us in a very clear way the action that he's calling us to take. So if we want to make known what we have going on, if we want to make that known to God, the Bible says that we are to do that by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. So those are the three key words: prayer, supplication, thanksgiving. Let's talk about them just for a moment. So what is prayer? Prayer is simply talking to God with our words and also with our thoughts. Think about us as repentant ones. Being repentant ones, what does that mean? That means the way to God's throne of grace is open. So it's always open. God never closes. When we are repentant, we have a direct line of communication with God. So let's take advantage of it. What is supplication? Supplication is that when we look in the mirror and say, oh, I have this particular need, so supplication then is making a particular request in order to fulfill a particular need. Since our needs are specific, so our prayers should be specific. That's important. What about thanksgiving? When we have needs, imagine you're trying to think what your needs are, so you're focusing on needs. That can kind of pull us down a little bit. Oh, I'm such a needy person. Look at all of this. What is God saying? God is saying that as we are thinking about our needs, we should also be thinking about all the blessings that we have. And as we think about the blessings, we should be giving thanksgiving to God. So that way the needs are balanced out with the blessings, And God has worked it out now to lift us up as we think about the blessings we have, even in the midst of focusing on the needs and bringing those to God. I mean, these are very fundamental things, but very important, though, in dealing with anxiety. I want to talk for a moment now about specific prayers. So they are important, and first of all, they show that we are serious when we pray specific prayers. Let me give you an example. Now, this is not a prayer, but this would be a request that I could make to any one of you. If I said to you, by the way, can I stop over at your house tomorrow at 7 o'clock in the evening? I have a significant problem, and I really want to talk to you about that particular problem. If I said that to you, you would be like, oh, I don't know what's going on with Pastor, but that sounds like a serious thing. I've identified a day, I've identified a time, I've identified the reason why we need to talk, so that's serious. When we go to God with prayers like that, then God knows we are serious about our praying. Also, too, prayer is an opportunity when it's specific to show God's work. I want to share with you the story here that we find in Genesis chapter 24. So the situation is Abraham is very old. He has his son Isaac, who is not married, and now Isaac needs a wife. So Abraham talks to his most trusted servant, and he sends him to a faraway place where Abraham's family is living, and he says to the servant, go there and find a wife for my son Isaac. Well, think about this now. How do you know, like, which woman to pick? Do you pick one that's the most beautiful, one that's the most wealthy, one that's the most wise? How would you know that that was the right one? So do you know what the servant did? It's such an amazing thing. But when he got to the place, and he probably had been thinking about this on the whole journey, but when he got to the place, he prays a very specific prayer to God. And basically, he said it like this. He said, God, I'm gonna talk to these various women, and I'm going to tell them that I'm thirsty. And I'm asking you to do this for me, God. So when I say to a woman, I am thirsty, I want her to say this phrase back to me. I want her to say back to me, I will give you a drink and I will water your camels too. So this is exactly what the servant asked for. And you know what happened? As soon as he finished praying, he looked up and there is this woman. And he walks over to her and he says, I am thirsty. And what did she say? She said, I will give you a drink and I will water your camels too. Isn't that amazing that he just asked God for that exact thing and then God gave him exactly what he had requested? That was Rebecca. She became the wife of Isaac. So God worked it all out. Can you imagine the rejoicing within that servant knowing, boy, I have definitely got the exact woman that God has chosen to marry Isaac. It's an awesome thing. But see, if he wouldn't have been that specific, though, he never would have known whether she was the right one or not. Let's be specific in our praying. As I come near the end here, when we pray specifically, that can lighten our load. So as I look out into the parking lot, I'm not seeing a couple pickup trucks, but imagine, though, if right out here we had two pickup trucks parked right next to each other. One pickup truck was full of wood. The other pickup truck was empty. And let's say that for some reason I needed to transfer the wood from one pickup truck over to the other pickup truck. Do you think I would be able to, like, stretch my arms all the way out and grab, like, all that lumber in that truck and just, like, move it over to the other pickup truck, like, in one move? Who thinks I could do that? I see Nevin's hand up. Okay. Well, thanks for the encouragement, Nevin, but I'm almost positive I couldn't do that. But anyway, though, how would that happen? The only thing I could do is pick up maybe one or two boards at a time and move them from this truck over to this truck. When I did that, board by board, the entire load would be moved from one truck over to the other. Now, how does that apply to prayer? Think about it. There might be 100 boards in the one truck, and I might have 100 problems. What do we oftentimes do? We're like, oh God, I don't have time to pray. Let me grab all 100 problems at one time, and I'll just give them to you. Is that going to be successful? We can't do it. So what is God saying? God is saying, be specific. With each problem, grab a hold of it, and then pass it over to me in prayer. As we go through that process, is that going to take a while if we have 100 things? It will, but by the time we are done with that prayer, boy, are we going to be so lightened from that load, from that burden that we have been carrying. That's going to be so wonderful. So God is saying, it is worth it. Take the time and problem by problem, move them over to the Almighty God. He is there. He wants to receive them. A couple more tips on prayer real quick as I conclude here. So whenever we pray, let us always do so trusting in God, not doubting. Let us also pray in agreement with the Bible. So important. Let us pray knowing that God is always able. Now, God might not say yes and do what we ask, but he is always able to do it. And then let us accept his will, whatever it is. So when we go to God in prayer, God might say yes. He might say no. He might say not now, but later. God could answer in a lot of different ways, but however he answers, let us be confident that his ways are best, and let us accept whatever he gives as the answer. Okay, so a truth from today? Well, even when we cannot see the Lord, let us know he is near us. What did Jesus say? And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So even if we feel like he is not there, we have to put the truth of the Bible above our feelings and know whatever God said, that is true, even if I feel like it is not true. So important. How about something relevant? Well, his nearness, what can that do? That can remove our anxiety. What does the Bible say? The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing. Let us know that our help is right there. Think about the apostles. They had the second person of the Holy Trinity right there, and yet they didn't ask him for help. How foolish. Let's not be that way. Let's realize the Lord is near. Let's ask him for help. Let's rely on him. Let's not be anxious. And finally, let us realize that specific prayers can transform our lives. So think about the number of things I said about the servant of Abraham, about transferring the wood from one truck to another. When we follow these fundamental things in our praying, that is going to make a huge difference in our lives in all kinds of awesome ways. God help us. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, what a privilege we have to come to you in prayer. We pray that you would help us to do so very specifically, knowing that you are hearing us, knowing that you will help us according to what is best, and help us to rejoice. Help us to know you are near. Grant us your peace in every circumstance. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.